Ephrem Syrus, a father in the early church, once wrote, "Glory to you, who by your cross has taken away the heathenism in which both the circumcised and uncircumcised were caused to stumble. Praise to you, the medicine of life, who has converted all who are baptized to him, who is life of all and Lord of all. The lost who are found bless you, for by finding the lost, you have given joy to the angels that are found and were not lost. The uncircumcised praise you, for in your peace, the enmity that was between is swallowed up. For you receive in your flesh the outward sign of circumcision, through which the uncircumcised, formerly accounted as not yours, are now your own people. You made the circumcision of the heart your sign, by which the circumcised were made known that they were not your people. For you came to your own, and your own received you not. And by this they were made known that they were not your people. But through your mercy, those to whom you did not come cry out after you, so that you would satisfy them with the crumbs that fall from the children's table. God was sent from the Godhead to come and convict the graven images that were no gods. And when he took away from them the name of God that had adorned them, then the blemishes of their persons appeared. These were their blemishes. They have eyes but do not see, ears but do not hear. Your preaching persuaded their many worshippers to exchange their many gods for the one God. By that you took away the name of Godhead from the idols. Worship was withdrawn along with the name that is, the worship bound up with the name, for worship also attends to the name of God. Because then worship was also rendered to the name by all the nations, at the last the worshipful name shall be gathered incompletely to its Lord, so that it may be fulfilled that all things may be subjected to him." Now, Ephrem writes many, many years ago, over 1,000 years ago, I believe, and so his manner, his direction is a little different than we would write today, a little more circular, a little less direct, a little less, shall I say, argumentative, not in the sense of trying to pick a fight, but in the sense of trying to make a point. Instead, what you hear him doing is weaving through the scriptures, one piece connected to another, all in praise of that initial statement, that the cross has taken away our heathenism. Heathen is a funny word. I once looked up the etymology, that's the history of the word, to figure out, where did this word come from? What does that mean? And it comes from England. Back in the day, when missionaries were first coming to England, they would generally set up shop in the towns, right? So they would be putting the little chapel or the little church in the town where the people were living in stone houses and whatnot. And so services would be either every day or once a week on Sunday. But there were other people that lived in England at the time, and not in the towns. They lived out on the heath. Yeah? And most of them did not convert, whereas the people within the towns often converted and became Christians. Those out on the heath retained their old pagan, that is, nature-worshipping religions. And so they began to refer to the heathen as those who are not Christian, but those who worship false gods. Right? So that's where that word heathenism comes from. And it is the natural religion of all humans. It is what is built into our flesh. We've inherited from Adam that we would seek God not where he is, but in the creation itself, and in so doing think to make gods of ourselves. And so we are all born heathen. Every babe carried in the womb is a little sinner. Yeah? That's why we bring babies to baptism, because they need that salvation. They need that white robe of Christ's righteousness to remove the heathenism of their hearts and give them the name of the true God, that name which, Ephrem says, will one day supersede all things, subject all things, right? You know this, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every knee on earth and under the earth and above the earth, the heavens and the earth, everything, right? Seen and unseen, it's all going to be subjected to his name. And this is good, because his name is merciful and just and steadfast. That mercy, that justice, that steadfastness, it is shown to you at the cross, where your own heathenism was placed onto Jesus, and where the dividing wall of hostility between Jew and Gentile, between all the various means in which we would try to work our way up to God, well, that was torn down in one moment where the ladder was declared to be not enough for anyone. Instead, we need a ship. We need a boat. We need an ark to ferry us across death's raging flood. We need the body of Jesus. And that is precisely what God has given to you, what God declares to you now, what all your devotion, all your sanctification, all of your life revolves around, whether you know it or not. With groans too deep to understand as the Spirit even intercedes for you, with a heart constantly being battered in this storm by the world and buttressed by the blessed, wonderful word of Jesus, the wisdom of God who has ceased all hostility between you and Him. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the Messenger of Good News. We'll be back in just a minute.